The Democrats think they have their new George Floyd. Yes, we're only in the middle of April, but it's already time to scare black people into voting for Joe Biden. And so we're getting a little early start in April. We're not going to wait for the anniversary of George Floyd. I think the Democrats have identified him, and his name is Kenneth Knotts. This video has been circulating all over social media. Kenneth Knotts, a Texas man, died in police custody in 2022. In 2022. But the video, and let's take a look, just released this week.
Oh my God.
He's taking the cuffs off.
I want water.
Quit.
Sit down.
Right.
I need water.
You just got some.
That isn't enough.
Stop. Don't do it. Stop. Can I go over here? Can I go
over here? It's over here.
I need water. Kenneth, you
gotta
relax a little bit. You can't do anything until you're
on the pool. Kenneth, stop.
Stop.
All right, we've seen enough. We've seen enough. We don't have to go any further. But Kenneth Knotts died, you know, of a heart attack or cardiac arrest. He had been stopped or had been picked up. I think he had a flat tire on the side of the highway. Police stop. He began acting in a way that was abnormal and a bit threatening. They take him into custody, bring him to a facility where he can be checked out mentally and physically evaluated. He starts giving them problems inside of the facility. Police come back in, I think, and re-handcuff him and try to subdue him. He has cardiac arrest and dies in 2022. The body cam footage and the outrage was saved until 2024. This is what I call the method. It's a form of method acting that the Democrats use to control black people and to keep us living in fear. And if you don't vote for Democrats, you're going to die. That's going to be the point of our discussion today. I'll show you Dexter Reed as well. He's a part of this. The Democrats are searching for something to scare black people into voting for Joe Biden. We'll talk about it today. Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I'm Jason Whitlock, your host. Happy Friday. Thank you for joining me today. Man, we got a lot of great content planned for you today. Not only do we have today's show, which will be awesome as we talk about the method, but we also are going to have some content that we'll release today that you guys should hunt up. I think we'll release it everywhere. We'll release it on YouTube. We'll also release it on Apple, where I engage with Mark Lamont Hill about his controversial take on O.J. Simpson and the O.J. Simpson trial verdict. We'll have that. Steve Kim and I, at some point somewhere, maybe in today's show, but at some point somewhere, we'll have some content about Tom Brady potentially coming out of retirement. And then Saturday, I just got to preview this for you guys Saturday. I'm going to go into Patrick Bet-David. He had Sage Steele on his podcast, I believe yesterday, and for some reason he decided to take some pot shots at me. This is a mistake. I'm going to release that on Saturday morning. So a lot of good content for you this weekend. Look, the sports season has waned. The Masters is going on, but you know they don't let you televise much of the Masters. They're so greedy over there at that that place. There's no more college basketball. NBA playoffs haven't started up. So I'm going to drop a lot of great content on you this weekend. So you have a lot to do and a lot to think about and a lot to talk about. So stay tuned for all of that. First thing you guys need to do is go to blazetv.com/fearless. Get your subscription to Blaze TV. Use my promo code Fearless. You'll get $20 off your Blaze TV subscription. If you're listening over Apple, hit that 5-star rating. If you're watching over YouTube, make sure you're hitting the likes and the subscription and all that. And then the other thing we always have to do, we got to thank our sponsors, Good Ranchers. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is locking in your price until 2026 when you subscribe to any of their boxes of 100% American meat and seafood. Use my promo code Fearless at goodranchers.com and save 10%. Thank you, Good Ranchers. We're going to have a new potential contributor on today's show to react to this monologue, this fire starter I'm about to give you. Kevin Donahue is going to join Shamika Michelle and I as we discuss the method. And I'm going to have to take you on a bit of a history lesson so you can fully understand my fire starter and my point of view today. So I want you to bear with me. I'm going to circle back to Kenneth Knotts, and I'm going to circle back to this game that's being played on African Americans every year and on really on all voters every year that, you know, or every voting cycle, that if you don't vote for Democrats, you're racist. And if you're black and you don't vote for Democrats, your life is in jeopardy. You're going to be killed by police. Your life is totally dependent upon having a Democrat in the White House and running your city and being the governor. Because if you don't, all these Republican police officers are just going to kill you. I want to give you a little history lesson about what's being done here. So today I want to talk about the method being deployed to keep black Americans obsessively loyal to the Democratic Party. It's actually called the method, an immersive and compelling form of acting that requires a performer to stay in character off camera. It's considered the highest and most powerful form of acting. Actor Daniel Day-Lewis used it to portray Abraham Lincoln, won an Oscar for it, and wide acclaim as America's best actor. Comedian David Chappelle tells a funny story about meeting Jim Carrey while he was filming the movie Man on the Moon, a biopic chronicling the life of quirky comedian Andy Kaufman. Dave Chappelle never got to talk to Jim Carrey. Instead, he met Jim Carrey's impersonation of Andy Kaufman. Most Americans believe Marlon Brando invented the art of method acting. Brando's late 1940s performance in the Broadway play, A Streetcar Named Desire, and later a movie by the same name, popularized the acting style. But the method's origin actually traces to the Moscow Art Theater, the Soviet Union, 1898, and Vladimir Lenin, the most prominent supporter of the theater. Konstantin Stanislavski, a performer at the Moscow Art Theater, developed and perfected the method. He and a group of Russian actors appeared on Broadway in 1923. New Yorkers fell in love with the Russian trope. A handful of Stanislavski's acolytes stayed in New York and taught American actors the method. I mention this to remind you of the Marxist influence on Hollywood and acting. Russian communists taught Americans to act, how to powerfully present fiction as reality. When you turn on your television, sit down inside a theater, open your laptop to watch YouTube, or unlock your smartphone to cruise a social media app, you're being influenced by the method. As I've told you many times on this show, social media, the Matrix, it's just the stage. What do people do on a stage? They perform. And now we're paying people to perform on these stages. The alliance between Hollywood elites and the Democratic Party explains why the method is such an effective tool to control voting habits and behaviors of black Americans. The movie, television, and music industries, along with academia and corporate America, have assigned a specific role for black people, victims. We are rewarded and celebrated based on our ability to stay in character at all times. Let me give you an example. Black people know that law enforcement is not on a genocidal killing spree against black men. But we also know there are tremendous instant gratification rewards for pretending police pose a bigger threat to black men than gang violence. Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, the highest profile members of the rap group NWA, received millions upon millions of dollars and elevated their status for performing the song F the Police. Here's another example, and this is in the news recently. Dexter Reed, a Chicago lad, opened fire on police officers, striking one officer and firing 11 shots in all. The police officers justifiably panicked and fired 96 shots at Reed, killing him. Reed's mother and other family members, having watched multiple black families receive millions of dollars in lawsuits after officer-involved shootings, know they can potentially land a huge payday if they can portray Dexter as a victim. They also know the media will assist them in their performance. CNN was the first major TV network to step up and offer Reed's family a platform to portray him as a victim of an unfair traffic stop. In addition, Reed's family knows that Democrat politicians in Chicago will be more than happy to hand them millions of taxpayer dollars in a lawsuit. Let's watch a little footage of what, and I'm not trying to be unsympathetic, but let's watch a little footage of how CNN has put this story together and then how the acting performances that follow. I think we want to play SOTS 1 and 2 here back to back, but let's play the clip.
Your reaction to seeing that video?
It was terrifying.
For Dexter Reed's sister, his mother.
Oh, Lord Jesus, please help me.
And his entire family. What played out on newly released body camera video is nothing but pain.
They shot him down like an animal. Why did they shoot him that many times? He's already dead. Why you study shooting him like that? They killed my son and they killed me too.
March 21st, 2024, Chicago police are initiating a traffic stop on a driver reportedly for not wearing a seatbelt, according to the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. A traffic stop being conducted by five tactical officers.
Roll the window down. What are you doing?
Roll up.
Roll this one down.
Roll that one down too. Hey, don't roll the window up. Unlock the doors now.
The temperature quickly escalates. One officer puts what appears to be his gun on the windshield. Reed then fires first, hitting an officer in the forearm, according to the initial investigation. Then, chaos.
Hey! Stop fire! Stop fire! Hey, St. Louis, gun!
Stop fire!
Shots fired!
Reed goes down. Then three final gunshots, 96 in total, according to investigators. A gun was later recovered from the front seat of Reed's car. One of the family's attorneys argues this never should have happened in the first place.
There was a weapon recovered in his car. However, it started with an unconstitutional, pretextual, and unnecessary stop of Dexter Reed. And that's what precipitated the entire incident.
And questions remain over why tactical officers initiated a traffic stop for a supposed seatbelt violation. As part of a brief statement, Chicago police says this incident is still under investigation, but the stop is where it all began.
If you don't stop my nephew, he'll be alive today.
Reed's uncle sitting alongside his father.
When this happened to my nephew, I hope the police can understand that this is the same pain that they feel when an officer is killed in the line of duty.
It's a pain that manifests in memories and pain that manifests in despair.
They took my son away from me. He ain't got that no more. I don't know what I'm going to do without him.
So, I want you to understand something. The police officer that was shot and hit was black. He was there with four other black police officers. There were some non-black police officers as well, but they're leaving that out. They're leaving out that Reed was facing three counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and one count of possession of a firearm with a revoked permit. They're leaving out. They didn't say that. The dude fired first and he fired 11 times. We love to think like the police are stupid and that like police don't know the communities that they police and they don't know who they're pulling over or who they're likely pulling over. And that once they get the information and run it through, they don't know who they're dealing with. They're dealing with someone who carries a gun unlawfully and is willing to use it and was wanted and had previous problems with law enforcement. So they were on high alert. And when the guy opened fire, they knew it. Like, this guy fits the profile of someone who will shoot at us. And he did shoot at us and we fired back. I don't care if it was 9 shots or 90 shots. This is in a 40-second span. When you get shot or shot at, and it's in an instant, no one is sitting around going, oh my God, we're firing too many shots. People are just trying to stop the problem. And so if this mother, if someone off of O Block in Chicago, if a gangster disciple or a vice lord in Chicago had fired 96 shots at this young man, no TV cameras would be interviewing her. Oh, why did they fire 96 shots? The gangster disciples can fire as many shots as they want. The police must be limited after they get shot. Miss me. We don't have to move into fantasy land, fantasy world. Let's deal with reality. Somebody gets shot, you fire back, and you don't count how many times you fire back. But I don't blame this woman and this family for this acting job. They saw Breonna Taylor's family get millions of dollars rained on them, even though Breonna Taylor's boyfriend put her in harm's way by shooting a police officer first. But by not being a man and getting out of the bed and taking care of that situation without dragging his woman into it. They saw that family get millions of dollars. And so, will this lunatic left-wing mayor, Brandon Johnson, he'll do everything in his power to blame the police for responding to the shots fired by Dexter Reed. The false narrative that police randomly kill black men is a major selling point of the Democratic Party platform. The Democrats have convinced black people that our safety and freedom are dependent on keeping Republicans out of office. They install talented and committed actors on television shows to promote the lie that the slavery and Jim Crow laws Republicans defeated years ago will be instantly restored once a Republican returns to office. Just think that through. The party that defeated slavery and Jim Crow laws is trying to gain power so they can restore slavery and Jim Crow laws. It defies logic, but they keep making the argument. But let's watch Whoopi Goldberg and Joe Biden make the sales pitch that we keep going for.
You know, we're talking about take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember I said ages ago, you know, they in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it because, you see, things change. You know, one of the good things about the Supreme Court is you can fight to make sure you make stuff better. Mm-hmm. You don't generally fight to make stuff worse.
Or to roll back.
And yes. To me, if you're okay rolling that back, when things were not even a state, when we had no say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how's that going to roll? How's that going to roll? What's the next thing? Because, you know, on this, with all of this comes birth control.
Right.
With all of this That's comes next. Everything that you need as a woman to have had put in place to make sure that we were doing better than we were before.
What they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
It works, man. The method works. I want to play SOT 7. I wanted to Dexter Reed's mother, and this is just a short clip of, and this is why, and I'm, listen, I want to be crystal clear here. You've heard me talk on this show. Cousin, Antoine Butler, I helped raise him. I love him. I look at his picture every day. It sits out in my living room, a picture of Antoine Butler. He was killed by police in 2012, by sheriffs in 2012. Me and my family believe he was wrongfully killed, tasered, in the rain, electrocuted to death. The police say he swallowed cocaine and he choked on that while they were tasing him. I'm not, I know this pain personally. I helped raise Anton. I paid for his funeral. His mother is my first cousin. I know the pain that she has suffered since his death and deals with on a daily basis. I'm not unsympathetic, but I'm just sorry. When I look at this video of Dexter Reed's mother, this looks like an acting job. Play the clip.
He had just bought his new car 3 days before that, and he was just riding around in his car. He said, "Mom, go for a ride." And they killed him. They killed
him. It works. Black people see themselves as victims. Many of us spend each day looking for signs of our victimhood. We stay in character even when we're off camera. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Staying in character prevents us from identifying the farce. Plus, staying in character and ignoring the farce allows us to receive the benefits. We're paid actors. We're paid in lawsuits, job promotions, diversity hires, and social clout. The black people who break character and choose to live in reality become social pariahs and unfit for leadership. I'm not talking about myself. Historian and economist Thomas Sowell is one of the wisest men in the history of America. He overcame incredible odds. He's written thousands of profound books and columns. Mainstream media ignores him or vilifies him. Al Sharpton, on the other hand, is corrupt, sleazy, unintelligent, and has accomplished virtually nothing in 40 years as a public figure. He's a confidant of US presidents, a TV and radio show host. He's earned millions of dollars as a victimhood method actor. Can the method be stopped? Yes, but only through a religious revival. The victimhood cannot coexist with a sincere belief in the birth, life, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lie cannot survive the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why we do this show and constantly try to point everyone, black, white, brown, green, man, woman, child, to God. You can't be a victim. You can't. If you really fall in love and understand and fall in service to Jesus Christ, the lies, you can see the lies so clearly. If you cannot see the lies, you need to question your relationship with God. If you can't see the lies, if you can't see we're acting, the stats and what we really deal with in our communities, We're not worried about the police because all you have to do is comply and then you eliminate virtually any chance of being harmed by police. If you comply, you don't fire your gun at them. You're not, there will be no lawyer arguing, well, they shouldn't have pulled me over for tinted windows. Why'd they pull me over for speed? Now I was only going 7 miles over the speed limit. Why'd they pull me over for a seatbelt? They pulled Dexter Reed over for a seatbelt because they wanted an excuse to pull his criminal ass over because they knew he was probably carrying a gun because they know their neighborhoods and the communities they're policing. They're not guessing. They have instincts and they have intelligence and they have information. But we keep falling for the gimmick. We just keep falling for it over and over again. And everybody's an actor. I want to play a couple of clips of Maxine Waters, one of these great actresses out there, one of the best method actors we have going in politics. Because it's not, it's just across the board. Let's play Maxine Waters back to back here. I think the first one she's telling people to get in politicians' face. And then in the second video, she's saying, hey, someone got in my face and they're racist. Let's play the clip.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. As a member of Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant. And they don't say racist things, but right. What they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black,
right.
You would not be approached that
right.
way.
They probably would not. Right. They would think twice about doing it. They think that they can get away with doing it with you and that you're black.
This is incredible. You can advise people to go out and get in politicians' face, make them uncomfortable, do this or do that, and then turn back around and say, well, it happened to me and I'm a victim and they only did it because I'm racist. Now, no, they didn't call me any names. They didn't call me any racist names, but it's because I'm black. These are actors. This is, and I bring up, I went all the way back to 1898 to try to help you understand the Marxist connection. And I just want to, again, I know many of you know what Marxism is and get what it's about, but some people don't because this kind of stuff really isn't taught in school and it's certainly not talked about in the media spaces at the level it should be. But Marxism disavows religious faith. Karl Marx's political theory that's socialism is kind of like the gateway drug to communism and communism is the gateway drug to Marxism. And all that, socialism, communism, Marxism, they all are hostile to religious faith. It's a secular worldview and position. It's a satanic worldview and position that is hostile to Christian faith and belief. And so when I tell you that Marxist communists from Russia came here in 1923 to New York and performed and then taught American actors the art of method acting, of staying in character. And when I connect the dots of Hollywood's connection to the Democrat Party, Hollywood's connection to Marxism, do you not see how everybody stayed? This is how Joy Reid gets on TV and says things that she totally does not believe. She's just an actor playing a role and she's being paid millions of dollars to play that role. Maxine Waters has made millions of dollars in the stock market and by being a powerful member of Congress. She's an actor playing a role. She knows how much money she can make playing that role. And then they've built a little system of rewards that if you follow this act, you can get promoted on your job. They'll create an entire wing of their corporation called Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, where you can get a job that basically is like, oh my God, I can get a six-figure salary for running around and telling white people what to think and what to do. What a job that is. I don't need any qualifications other than my black skin because we've created this industry, DEI, and every corporation has this initiative. And they plug in mostly black women, mostly gay black men, but you know, the rest of us, we're dark, we can get jobs in DEI departments. We don't have, again, you don't have, you can get a job at Coca-Cola and you don't need to know nothing about how they make that soft drink. You don't have to work on no assembly line. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is be willing to show up and say, well, I can tell white people what to think. That's your qualification. It's amazing work. I would be insulted by it. If I thought my job was to, but this entire system that they've designed, And at some point, not today, I'll connect the NAACP to all of this because it was infiltrated by communists and people that don't think Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And so they have an entire system, everything, the entire structure has been set up to bait black people, walk away from your Christian beliefs, hop on board with this communism, secularism, Marxism, and we will reward you. Before I bring Kevin and Shamika into this conversation, I do want to thank, I'll just say it, it's our favorite sponsor, Preborn. You guys know how much I love Preborn, and you guys know how much it's a part of our mission here in the Fearless Army. Preborn, you know, has jumped on board as a sponsor for Roll Call 2.0, and we thank them for that. Preborn fits our worldview that life begins at conception, and we understand the adoption, the belief in that worldview impacts our approach to everything in life. If you understand that life begins at conception, trust me, you'll know how to treat life once it's outside the womb as well. Preborn supports this view by supporting expectant mothers who are considering abortion. They provide that woman with an ultrasound, introduce that baby to the mother while in the womb through heartbeat and through an image of that baby. And that woman now is more than twice as likely to choose life. And that's when Preborn really steps up and steps in. For the first 2 years of that baby's life outside of the womb, Preborn, the diapers, baby food, bassinets, or what do they call them? What to put babies in? Cradles. all of the things that a baby needs during that first 2 years, Preborn is there to support that woman. Our money, the money that we donate, goes for ultrasounds and supporting that woman and that child once that child's life enters into this world. Preborn is amazing. As fearless soldiers, we need to continue to support Preborn. There's two ways to give. #250, say the keyword baby. #250, say the keyword baby. The other way is the way I like to give. Preborn.com/fearless. Preborn.com/fearless. When you make that donation, send me an email at fearlessblazeshow@gmail.com. I love to hear it. It's very inspiring. I want to thank Preborn once again for supporting Roll Call 2.0. I hope you guys are making plans to be here because we are making big, amazing plans to send this thing through the roof. Partnering with John Rich on Roll Call has been the best decision I've made. John's a great guy. He's going to upgrade the music and the entertainment for us. We got some basketball coaches coming in, some professional retired former NFL players coming in. Glenn Beck's coming in to speak. Mark Robinson, my favorite new politician, ain't but two genders. He's going to be the next governor of North Carolina. He's going to be here. All of this is possible because of the support we get from an organization like Preborn. You guys go to fearlessarmyrollcall.com to reserve your spot right now. We'll continue the conversation about the method with Shamika Michelle and Kevin Donahue next. Hello, Fearless Army. I'm Jason Whitlock, your leader. I'm going to spend 2024 discussing growth and sacrifice. Hard times are here. Harder times are coming. What has stopped American growth and caused a regression in fundamental freedoms and values? A lack of sacrifice. Our ancestors sacrificed for our benefit. We have not sacrificed to protect the progress they died for. No sacrifice. No freedom. What impedes man's willingness to sacrifice? His ignorance, his perversion, his pride, his ingratitude, and his cowardice, his rejection of God. The Bible is a story about the power and the necessity of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the sun, rain, and fertilizer of growth. Growth is our life purpose. Grow in the knowledge, wisdom, fear, obedience, and reverence to the Most High. Growth requires sacrifice will be our theme for Roll Call 2.0 this summer, June 1, right back here in Nashville. We're excited to welcome you. Let me spend a minute explaining what G-R-O-W-T-H actually stands for us in the Fearless Army. The G is for game plan. In order to properly grow, it's essential we work from the strategic game plan spelled out in the Bible. The R, responsibility. As we grow as men, we understand and accept our responsibilities to God, family, and teammates. The O, ownership. We embrace ownership of our destiny. Outsiders do not determine our fate. The W, wisdom. We honor, value, and share the wisdom imparted to us by elders, coaches, and leaders. The T, trust. We must be worthy of trust. The reliability of a man's word defines him far more than popularity and material possessions. The H, humility. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. That's straight from Proverbs 22 and 4. Come join us in Nashville as we talk about growth and sacrifice and how without sacrifice, there will be no growth. Roll Call 2.0 right here in Nashville, Saturday, June 1st.
But you want to hope for sympathy like a hero.
Preach. Preach.
But have everlasting laughter. Yes. Yes.
Emmanuel Acho just nailed it there. And I say this sincerely. With no animus towards Emmanuel Acho.
What are those?
Stand your ground, brother. Don't let these gatekeepers buck break you.
Come on now, dawg. Come on, man.
These people are simps. These dudes are simps.
Men can cry. You so it's okay to be weak.
Ma, shut your mouth, mate.
This is why I call them simps. Cause look who they had smoke for. Someone they knew they could break.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
All right, welcome back. I want to continue the conversation about the method, the acting method used to keep black people voting Democrat. Shamika Michelle joins us. And Shamika, I know you've met Kevin Donahue on our prayer call, but I do want Kevin, introduce yourself to the audience a little bit formally in terms of what do? You live here in Nashville. He's been a great friend to the program. He was at Roll Call last year.
Sir.
He's been on all the prayer. He maybe missed a couple prayer calls on Wednesday, but he's been on most of them. Anyway, introduce yourself, Kevin.
I'm Kevin Donahue. I've been in Nashville for about 5 years, and I was actually at the first Roll Call you had at Pastor Bobby's church down in Franklin when you and Pastor Anthony and Pastor Bobby got together.
That's
in December.
Right.
That was the very first one. But I've been in Nashville 5 years, originally from Washington, D.C. area. I'm in the business of cybersecurity for high net worth individuals, and I've been an entrepreneur and a businessman most of my life, and love the show.
Perfect. Kevin's really smart, and that's why I've invited him into this conversation. But Shamik, I'm going to start with you. We're at that time of year again, Shamika, where, you know, the voting cycle's heating up and we got to scare black people into voting for Democrats. And if you don't pull that Democrat lever, you're going to get killed by the police. And, you know, you're just not going to. Jim Crow laws are just around the corner. And according to Whoopi, they're going to take birth control away, too. This method works. And, you know, we had this conversation earlier this week, I think, with me and TJ and Anthony, with me trying to explain to TJ, like, nah, man, black people really believe their life depends on voting for Democrats.
Absolutely. And when we see, you know, there was that video with Jennifer Lewis where she was saying, if Trump is reelected, he's going to march up those stairs and take something and smash the glass of the Constitution. And I'm and saying that he's Hitler. And I'm thinking, lady, you are nuts. But, you know, I have to applaud them for actually using actresses such as Jennifer Lewis and Whoopi Goldberg, because at least they have some experience. When I saw this acting of the woman whose son was shot in Chicago, the first thing that came to mind was boo, tomato, tomato, because that was just such terrible acting. Even the sister, I guess that's who was in the video with her, didn't seem like she even bought it. Now, I, as a mom, I would be devastated, but this just seems like bad acting across the board, and it's what the Democrats do every voting cycle. And you would think that black people would say, hey, we've seen this before. The whole voter ID, I released the video that I made in 2020 because it's the same script, just a different year.
Shamika, we're both being real, but some people will say like, man, you and Shamika, y'all being way too cynical. This woman lost her mother. I'm going to say this, though. I don't think, after having watched the videos and then seeing the uncle and the way that he talked and seeing the mother and the father doing two separate interviews, my suspicion is, and it's a suspicion, I could be wrong, but the reality is, I'm not sure if the mother and the son are really that connected. That is the reality of sometimes what will happen in a family dynamic, whether black, white, whatever, but there'll be so much dysfunction that they're really not that attached and they're not that close. But now that there's a payday on the line for playing this role, and I know people, you're being way too cynical, Whitlock and Shamika, but I'm just sorry, I've seen this before.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced. I'm not convinced. I've seen a mother lose her son. I've seen many moms lose their sons. And most of the time, it's at the hands of another black man. I just watched my grandmother go through it when her son was murdered December 3rd. I watched a very close friend of mine lose her 15-year-old son at the hands of another black man. When you have a relationship with that child, it just doesn't come across fake and phony. Whether you're crying or not, whether you're passing out or not, most people can see the genuineness, and it was just missing. And it seemed to even be missing to the young lady on screen who just didn't seem to be buying it at all. So yes, we may be cynical. Yes, people may get upset. Yes, we may get a little bit of a hate feedback, but I'm okay with that because, listen, the truth will come out. There's nothing covered that should not be revealed, neither hid that should not be known. We'll find out the truth, and I hope for the sake of her family that she is not putting on for a dollar, but I don't put it past anyone because we've seen it happen. And, you know, my spirit, as some of the church folks said, my spirit is just not sitting right with my spirit.
Let me, Kevin, before I have you jump in, I want to play the Jennifer Lewis clip of her, you know, comparing Trump to Hitler and, you know, he's going to tear up the Constitution. Let's play that clip.
Dear God, what have we done? Oh, I'll tell you what we've done. We've spent time trying to decide what flavor ice cream we're going to get. Because there are 10,000 flavors.
Right.
We spend half our lives choosing, trying to make a choice on bullshit. What movie tonight? Let me sit here for a half hour. No bombs going off. And we do nothing. We sit on our couches. Oh, I don't believe in voting. You f***ing idiot. If that man gets in, as soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol. He will take a hammer and break the glass where the Constitution is, and he will tear it up in our faces and say, now, I'm the king. You will bow down, bitches. He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this shit. I know it because I know what mental illness looks like. That mania is unstoppable. See, this mother is Hitler. He didn't come to play.
Kevin, one of the reasons I wanted to have you, you're familiar with government agencies.
Yes, sir.
And so there are those of us like, the CIA, FBI, they're in bed with these actors and actresses. No? Yes?
Well, I didn't know you were having me come on for a critique of a soap opera or a Mexican soap opera. I had no idea. I mean, this really is ultra dramatic. And, you know, what's necessary in order for propaganda to stick is to have a story. The more dramatic the story, the deeper it sticks. The more detailed the stories, the deeper it sticks. And they'll come up with these catchphrases, you know, Hitler is always one, whatever it is, to demonize and to separate and to, you know, so that they can make this go on. Because even the Bible, how do we know about the Bible today? It was passed down through stories. That's how human beings communicate. And so what they're doing here is they're creating a story, a narrative, to make sure the propaganda works. You know, there's a great book by Noam Chomsky, came out in 1988, called Manufactured Consent, The Political Economy and the Mass Media. And it breaks down the propaganda model. And it talks about creating the villain, you know, and it talks about what is the story that's being told that creates the argument that separates and that manufactures the consent of the masses. The number one thing is creating a boogeyman. It's fear, right? Because if there's fear, then we need a government agency or a fatherly figure or motherly figure to protect us from this bad guy, right? And so there's a perpetual boogeyman, and a lot of this, I mean, that character right there, I don't know who that woman was, but I mean, she's like a Joker. She's like a Batman, like a Joker or the Riddler or something.
Mika, am I right? Wasn't she in Blackish? I mean, she's a well-known actress, right?
Yeah, she was in Blackish. She played Tina Turner's mom and What's Love Got to Do with It. She was on A Different World. She's a very well-known actress, especially in black circles. And when I see this, I just think, Jennifer Lewis, you are on my list. Because that was one of her scenes. And the acting is just so over the top. We know a message has been sent out to everyone because Leslie Jones was saying the same thing. They're all saying that we're going back to slavery or they're taking back our rights. And to Whoopi Goldberg, you played a woman who didn't have many rights in The Color Purple, but you've never been one. Stop the lies. And so this idea that we're going back and things are going backwards, we know is simply just not true. Just by looking around in our homes, we are advancing every day. And so anyone that actually falls for the idea that we're going backwards isn't very smart, but that's what they're depending on. People who aren't really smart and who's going to lean more to their emotions opposed to actually using logic.
Is there any hopefulness out of this, Kevin, in terms of like they're starting earlier and the stories seem more preposterous? Does it speak to their level of desperation that they know, they sense they're losing?
I mean, it's been going on forever. This is the narrative. I mean, it's people like you pointing this out and then adding context to it, saying, hey, this goes back to communist Russia. These are actors that came here. But go look at the bios on IMDb for Wolf Blitzer and all the talking heads at CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. Actor. All of them are actors, right? So the actors are reporting the news. The actors are, starting to be the guests on the shows. And so that's what we're getting. We're getting a full drama. And it's creating this narrative that, that will, I guess, get people to vote a certain way or to rise up. And these people are really, from my point of view, they look like revolutionaries.
I'm going to take care of a little business, but I want you to marinate on this, Kevin. And Shamika, but I'm going to come to you first. By creating this boogeyman and creating all this fear, to me, particularly listening to what you had said earlier, they're creating a path and a need for an antichrist, for a figure that can, some iconic figure who can make us all feel safe and correct all these problems. This feels like the groundwork that has to be laid if there ever will be an antichrist. I want you to follow up on that, but let me take care of a little business here. Whether it's tournament season or the race for the playoff home court, cash in on basketball's big moments with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projections, and place your entry. Turn $10 into $1,000 with just four correct picks. You can choose from traditional stats like Steph Curry, more or less, on points, or more unique ones like Kevin Durant, more or less on dunks. My mom is a big basketball fan, and she certainly likes to gamble, just keeping it real. So she sent me her prize picks for today. Joel Embiid, more than 31.5 points versus Orlando. Anthony Davis, more than 13.5 rebounds versus Memphis. And Nikola Jokic, less than 2.5 blocks plus steals versus the Spurs. Mama, I don't like any of those picks. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. Join Prize Picks community on more than 3 million users who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app and use the code Fearless. That's code Fearless on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Kevin, your reaction to my contention, this is groundwork for an antichrist.
It's groundwork for an antichrist or a Christ-like figure. You know, I would say looking for a hero. You know, if they're going to put us back in chains, who can I vote for? Who can I rely on to make sure that I still have my freedom? They're looking, it's the same narrative. It is Batman versus the Joker, right? And so I don't know what they're doing. You know, when I was inside the Beltway doing a lot of the work with the different agencies, I used to know the headlines before the headlines would hit. But I didn't know what they were doing until maybe a few months down the road. And then I got to see how the play and how the drama created, and it might be a few months or even a couple years, like, oh, that's why they did that. That's why they did that. That's why they set that up. And then it would kind of see through the fruition. I try not to predict too much. I try to sit back and let the play work itself out and see where they're going with it. But this is really dramatic, especially the mother. Was she passing out?
Yes, she was pretending to pass out.
Pretending to pass out, right.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just like everything. Even during COVID, it was, you know, refrigerated trucks and overrun hospitals. And these are all propaganda terms. And so I watch the news differently than most. I'm like, okay, what is it they're trying to push? What's the red alert they're trying to force on us right now? And then what are they trying to get me to do as an individual in the future? So I look at it macro and then micro from my own point of view.
Jamaica, how about you see any hope in this, like the level of desperation's turning up because maybe they're not winning?
Oh, we definitely know they don't believe they're winning. And I think that this is in the Democrat playbook as a whole and even individually. So many of them think they are white saviors. That's why when they see black people voting right, they come in and say, how could you do this? You are turning against your people. They always feel like they need to come in and rescue us. And so I do think that they're coming out with all of these things so that black people will be looking for yet again a white savior in the Democrat Party. But I do think that there is hope because I am seeing so many people, especially young black people, who just aren't falling for the tricks anymore. I do think that a lot of older black people are still going along to get along, but it just seems that as technology advances and we have more information at our fingertips, that some people are willing to put in the work to do the research and say, you know, this doesn't sound right. Let me look it up. And they're finding out that the media has been lying. The government has been lying. The Democrat Party has been lying to them for a very long time. So when I see younger people be excited and just into politics, a lot of us were not at that age. It does give me a little glimmer of hope that they are changing and the Democrats see that. And so, of course, they're going to get outrageous and have to be more ridiculous and go above and beyond. But I think there are a lot of people who just aren't falling for it anymore.
The other side of this is, what are they distracting us from? What's no longer in the headlines? Like, what is this taking the place of? What was in the headlines the last few weeks that now this takes the most dramatic turn and now we have to focus on this? That's the other pieces. One is, what are they trying to steer us into? And then other, what are they trying to take our attention away from? So it's a very important thing to look at when it comes to the propaganda.
For me, and I've seen it talked about, and I think, Shamika, you may have referenced this either on the prayer call or some conference call, like this Hunter Biden, Ashley Biden diary deal, and how the woman who stole the diary, who found the diary and didn't return it, they're actually going to put her in jail. And Shamika, you made the point and follow up on it, like, hold on. So there's a crime discussed in this diary. The daughter says that my father took inappropriate showers with me. We're not going to look into that, but we're going to put the person who found the diary in jail. That's amazing to me.
It's completely amazing because people are just like, the media is not covering this at all. And for so long, they wanted us to believe that this diary wasn't even authentic. It wasn't real. This was just another fake story. The same way they sold us the whole Hunter Biden's laptop is not real. But you're actually going to put the woman in jail who stole the diary and sold it to journalists. So we now know not only is this story real, the diary must be authentic. Now let's talk about what's in the diary and why is it that this woman feels like she was molested over and over again by her father. And it has always amazed me that Biden doesn't even, to me, really talk about his daughter. All he talks about is his dead son. And that's Like, why are we overlooking that? Because people want to continue to say, oh, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. Well, I need them to explain to me that if this man was, in fact, molesting his daughter in the shower, how is he the lesser of two evils? Explain it to me like I wore a helmet to school, because it's not adding up. And the way people are just overlooking this is really sick. And it just says that so many of us don't even want to see the truth. We don't even want to know the truth, because it's easier just to turn a blind eye and go along to get along.
So perhaps, because here's what has disappeared from the news. Diddy. Mm-hmm. they raided this man's home. Several of his homes. It's all in the news. And again, I'll connect it again to this Ashley Biden. It just seems like they don't want us looking at, like, hey, what's going on with sexual exploitation? Mm-hmm. And if you follow this show and understand, like, what we've been talking about, and I've been talking about for 3 years, like how they use sex to control and manipulate, and they get you out on Epstein Island. They get you on camera at Diddy's house, and now they have you and they control you. And it's you know, I know I'm, you know, not supposed to reference him, but I'm going to, because he wrote a great book, Sexual Libido
Dominandi.
Libido Jones. Yeah, Libido Dominandi. It's a great book about how they use sexual perversion to control you politically and in every other way. And all of it, from Diddy to this Biden diary, to Epstein, we're seeing all of this in people's eyes. The scales are coming off people's eyes, and people are starting to realize, like, man, they're using sex to exploit all of us and to control all of us. But let's don't talk about that. Did you see some black dude shot at the cops and got killed? That's what you should really be focused about, because you met one day may shoot at the cops, and you don't want to be killed for that.
Yeah, and we have interactions with the police on a daily basis. It hits right home, and it makes us ignore maybe a war narrative in the Ukraine or somewhere else, right? That was the headlines, and maybe that narrative wasn't going as well as they hoped. You know, the Vietnam War taught the military, the government, and the press a really big lesson. Be careful what you say on TV, because that became a very, very unpopular war, and America turned against it. So why don't we use distraction techniques to make sure that our war plans or whatever else is going on, we may not even know what it is, doesn't show up in the headlines.
Shamika, I'll give you the final thought. If not, we can get out of here.
I just want to say, this goes back to what we were saying when we were covering Diddy, that perhaps they raided his house not to actually collect evidence on him, but to collect the evidence that he had on some of these powerful politicians and Hollywood elites. And the way that's how it's looking, considering we haven't heard any other thing outside of that.
Thank you, Shamika. Great job. We'll see you next week. We'll play some Tamara, and we will see you tomorrow.
Waiting for the countdown, coming off the breakdown, standing in line for freedom. Looking for a breakout, feeling like off, nothing in life like freedom. Came like a fighter, striking like a ladder, making all this moves for freedom. I want freedom. No negotiation, my sister, no relation. We all just wanna have freedom. Sitting on the corner, never been alone. I'm breaking my back for freedom. Bless, we are living, get back. We are receiving, all deceiving. We all wanna be free. We want freedom.